Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Do you want to do the intro?
I think we should both do the intro at the exact same time.
Okay. Three, two, one.
Hello.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
My name is...
I'm not going to say my name is Jesse. Okay. I'm Reese and this is Jesse. And
that was our failed attempt at reading the intro at the exact same time.
Yeah. Yeah, with remotely where there's a slight lag. So this is Canadian Politics is Boring, the show for people who hate politics but care about stuff.
Care about stuff. It used to be care about the big stuff. Now it's just care about stuff.
Not every,
do you like wrestling and nachos? Boy, are we the podcast for you.
Still stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's stuff is fine. So, Jesse, how are you?
You know, I'm okay.
I don't. That's why I asked.
Oh. I'm keeping busy. How are you, Reese? Tell me about your bear story. You always have a fun, interesting
story. I don't have a bear story. I don't have a fun or interest. There are no bears. No, the bears are all gone.
Did you kill them?
No, they just didn't stay.
Oh. That's a fascinating story, I got to tell you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. So that was our STD zone. Jesse, how are you? I'm okay. Reese, what's up with your bears? Nothing. They're gone.
This is. Are we done with the STD zone as well? That was a very brief one. Normally,
it was very brief.
We,
and it was uneventful. An uneventful, short, sad.
Well, I've got nothing going on in my life. Have you?
Not really. No.
Yeah, that's fine. So let's just walk the dog
a little bit. Tomorrow, I have to walk the dog for 2 hours because of people that are coming by who are scared of dogs.
So what are you doing? You wear your dog out so that it doesn't move and it looks like a rug and then they're fine?
That's exactly what it is. Yes. Thank you.
That sounds nice. Okay, cool. Awesome. So
just a fucking fascinating STD zone today. Jesus.
We should probably just get on to talking about something.
So,
teach me something, for fuck's sake.
We've done something historical recently, and this one is based on something that is very recent. So, before we get into our awesome story, I just wanted to.
I hope it's awesome. It better be awesome. Yeah,
before we get to our awesome story, I just wanted to say, hey, we have Patreon, and if you really like this show, we'd really like it if you could support the show. It's like, I don't know, how much is it? Like $7 a month or whatever?
And Canadian. $7.50 Canadian, which is like Canadian. $5 American. Yeah. And we're going to be getting more tiers soon. We just thought we'd try one tier, and it didn't really work. So we're going to be going all fucking hog out on this.
I didn't know we were going to do tiers. I didn't think we were doing tiers, but
did we not talk? Oh, okay.
No. There's a bunch of Canada is Boring episodes on there, but also you get these episodes, at the beginning of the weekend. So they release on Friday with no ads versus Monday with ads. So you get to enjoy us all weekend. So anyway, that's enough plugging that, because you want to do content. So let's talk about the
content
story.
Content is king. Yeah, okay. Let's do it. All right. So, teach me something about my own country's politics, because you know how much I love this shit.
So this is a contemporary thing. And this is I'm borrowing something from south of the border. So this is all about misinformation. You might have heard that like Russia's been meddling in disinformation in Canada and America.
I didn't know about Canada. I'm not really following the Ukraine thing because it's depressing.
It's not,
as fuck.
Not just Ukraine. It's not just Ukraine. So
can you get, is there any way you can get a little closer to your mic?
I'm literally pressed up against it with my face. So no.
Okay.
So anyway,
that's the way. It's not for the audio quality. I just like picturing you like that. That's all.
Yeah.
I know you are actually like that. It just makes me happier.
So in recent years, like there's been a lot, you get bots online and trolls and hackers. And obviously during the 2016 federal election in the United States, and also the 2020 election, there was a lot of misinformation being spread online. And on July the 8th this year, Canada's Foreign Ministry Affair, Melanie Joly announced new sanctions against Russia as a counter to the Kremlin's disinformation aimed at Canada specifically. And some data shows
what have we done to anybody? Come on, man.
It's just kind of disrupting democracy and disrupting perceptions in the war in Ukraine is a mixture of things. So Canada, apparently some like 51% of Canadians have been exposed to pro-Kremlin propaganda, which is like false claims about the Russia-Ukraine war. There's involvement as well, apparently, in the convoys that happened here. And it does work in some cases. It's kind of rubbing off on perceptions, and this is like a big problem, obviously. So
hold on. What's the title of this episode?
This is called "The War on Pineapple Reaches Canada."
The war on what?
Pineapple.
The war on pineapple. You should have led with that, man. Exactly. I was starting to fall asleep with all this like propaganda fucking news talk. It's just like the war on pineapple. All right, I've woken up a little bit.
So there's a report out called "Private Message Public Harms," and it was used. It basically surveyed 2,500 Canadians, and it found that 40% of Canadians report receiving private messages that they suspect are false at least monthly. 39% report receiving messages that are initially believed to be true, but later found out to be false at least monthly. And this is just bots.
Hold on. What do you mean from bot? Like what?
This is people. Like? This is people receiving like news. Stories or social posts that have been forwarded to them by friends or even by bots about misinformation. So a lot of people who get their news that is heavily influenced by misinformation tends to be shared on things like Telegram and in Facebook groups and those kind of things. So it's not through a mainstream like media organization. It's people who choose to get their information through those social media platforms.
Okay.
And apparently 21% of Canadians
people who choose to get their news through their friends sharing articles on Facebook are concerned about bots.
No, they're saying that they receive like 46% receiving messages they suspect are false, 39% believe it and then realize out later it wasn't true, and apparently 21% of those surveyed said that they rely on private messages for news. And
well,
that's how they get
I mean,
the news.
I rely on you for my news, right? Yeah, I mean, you can make all this stuff problem, shut up. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. And apparently those who believe COVID-19 conspiracy theories are significantly more likely to receive news through WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. and a majority have the same level of trust in news they receive through messaging apps as they do from news websites, TV, and social media. And 26% receive messages and containing hate speech at least monthly, with rates higher among people of color. So it's basically saying that a lot of people are relying on like information and articles being spread privately through social groups and friends, just as much as through trusted news outlets that is kind of being posted by journalism. And this is how, so the war on pineapple is, I'm assuming you've never heard of CISA.
No.
So CISA is an American division of the US Department of Homeland Security. And they were trying to come up with a playbook for people to understand the influence disinformation online can have on the elections in 2016. And it doesn't just apply to the elections, it applies to any kind of disinformation. And the idea of pineapple came from the fact that they needed to give a toolkit to people from all different political backgrounds, like conservative, liberal, kind of more left-wing. And what they needed to do was give them an example that wouldn't hint at any kind of political bias. It would have to just be like a really basic toolkit. So they used the argument of pineapple on pizza as the topic. So some people hate pineapple on pizza, some people love it, some people are indifferent. And they use that as a model rather than saying, was the election stolen from Donald Trump, which obviously would enrage emotion. They wanted to use this to develop a toolkit for election officials.
They thought that they're putting out there that people disliked pineapple on pizza or loved pineapple on pizza would not elicit an emotional response. Do you have any idea how fucking divided
no,
country is on Hawaiian pizza? Like,
but it's not political. It's a relatable debate, but it has nothing to do with politics.
All right.
So this toolkit is basically using that as a basis is a really good way of looking at the five steps of how misinformation is spread online through people who prefer to get information through those kind of more social media driven news outlets or ways of getting news. So it starts off with this first step is called targeting divisive issues. So foreign influencers basically are constantly looking out for opportunities to inflame the argument online. So they look for really hot issues that people start to argue over. So for instance, pineapple on pizza, you already had an emotional response to that. So they'll start by looking, what's that?
Exactly? What's really good is donair pizza, like donair meat.
That is good.
You can only get it in the Maritimes, by the way.
So sorry. Good. That's my favorite one.
But my friend Madeline told me that she created a monstrosity, which is donair pizza with donair sauce and pineapple and hot peppers, and I tried it, and oh my god, it's so fucking good. Anyway, I'd pepper this episode with something a little bit interesting. Please continue.
once the foreign kind of agencies have identified a topic they can exploit, what do you think the next step is, Jesse?
I don't fucking know.
So they move social media.
Create memes and pepper them throughout TikTok. And I don't know.
That's the next step. So the first step is they have social media accounts they've established with big followings, and they rename and rebrand it so that it's more related to the topic. So whereas it might have been like, I don't know, ladies man or whatever, 69, they change the name of that account to pineapple pizza fight or whatever. So that it's really relevant so that they have that really focused outlet to start spreading misinformation about it. So that's the next step. So the trolls then, and people spreading the misinformation.
So hold on, I've actually heard of this before, where people build up a really big Facebook page, right? Where like the Facebook page is like kittens and rainbows, right? And everybody just like you pay to advertise the page through Facebook, and it's like, do you like kittens and or rainbows? And you're like, oh, I like kittens and rainbows. And so you hit like, and so suddenly you're following the kittens and rainbows page until the owner of that page gets it to like, I don't know, 50,000 likes or people following that page. And then they sell it to like, I don't know, Nazi lovers of Winnipeg, and like that, and suddenly they just changed the title, and now the Nazi lovers of Winnipeg have like 50,000 followers on a Facebook page that they can instantly send shit to. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
that,
yeah. So
I knew that's how it used to work. I don't know if Facebook allows that anymore. I don't know.
It's kind of similar, but it's maybe you're already talking about similar topics and then you just start to rebrand around something more specific, because maybe there was something in the news you talked about and then that's gone out of the news loop. And
I'm sorry, Winnipeg. It's just the first thing that popped into my mind. I don't see Winnipeg as a huge Nazi loving community. I was just trying to think of something funny. That just popped into my mind. I don't know why. Manitoba, we love you.
So
you're Nazi loving war criminal.
So with the bots with the troll accounts in place, they can then look for when people are having a debate online, and all they do is share bad information and take extreme positions or drop in fake information to try and start distorting, amplifying, and enraging the conversation. So it just means they start to take things out of context, fabricate things, just to try and make the discourse online go into a really disruptive place rather than being like a healthy conversation. So saying things like, and these are the examples they gave, being anti-pineapple is un-American, millennials are ruining pizza, keep your pineapple off my pizza, and what's wrong with plain old cheese? Those kind of comments to start making people angry about the topic.
I feel like a new podcast series is going on.
exactly.
What's wrong with plain old cheese? Episode 5.
So then,
for 75 minutes, we talk about the different types of cheese on pizza.
Exactly. So you've got this ecosystem of trolls creating these things and starting these and sharing those memes and sharing those like misinformation. And then that gets amplified by real people and then influencers who then go, this seems to be buzzing around at the moment, and they'll talk about it. And then the next step then is making it mainstream.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the idea that that they fanned the flames, they started this as a topic.
Is that Rosie in the background? I can hear whimpering.
She's having a dream. She's having a dream.
That's a drink? That's the noise the dog makes when...
She's having a dream, I said.
Oh, a dream. I had a drink. Oh,
no. So when that conspiracy theory is then shown by a mainstream news outlet. So in this case, they say, the pineapple debate made it onto Fox News. It then becomes legitimized. So because people see it on that mainstream news, it might be like weighed heavily in one political direction, but it's still then seen as like a mainstream news article. Okay. And then the final stage is basically real world interaction, like boots on the ground. So in this sense, people are so angry about pineapple pizza, they then go and storm Congress. Because
I'm sorry, I can't listen. I can only hear the dog making dream noises in the background. Stop Don't it. Wake her up. It's okay.
So that's the idea, is that people then get so angry that real people then go out in public and start protesting pineapple on pizza.
So this has been a huge like sociological experiment to see just how far we can push people through misinformation, like purposeful, sort of like angrifying emotional Was it an experiment that they were doing?
No. This was to explain how it works. So this is what's been happening online since like the mid 20 teens, like since before the 2016 election. This is the tactic that's been used. But the idea is that it's not for any point apart from to really cloud the debate. It's not like it's to try and get people to do anything in particular. It's just to get people angry and misinformed, essentially.
Well, because if people are angry, angrier people tend not to make tend to make less logical choices.
Exactly. You know?
They want to go with what they're angry about instead of stopping and thinking and debating and listening and reading and stuff like that. So if the angrier you can get the public, the easier they are to control. I don't fucking know. What's their IO, AO, AAP, B by various other letters? What's their goal here? I can't brain today.
The goal here is just
you're talking about weird shit.
It's just to make people doubt. The goal is essentially, and this toolkit worked really well in the 2016 election, apparently. And one of the reasons it also worked well in the 2020 election, because it was a real idea about, okay, when you relate it to kind of election fraud stories, there's a lot of stories that had followed these steps through this process. But the idea of why they're doing this is to basically make people doubt like news and to doubt and like what is true, what isn't true. It makes it hard to understand. So even a rational mind, given lots of competing narratives, even if you are rational, it's very hard to digest and process what you should feel or what you should trust in that sense.
Of course. I mean, I've been talking about that with you for a while now about how, like, you know, in the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s, fuck it, even 90s, you could get your news from a reliable news source. But like the idea of misinformation, the idea of like people trying to give you news that was purposefully false was just non-existent.
If I
watched CBC News and they told me, you know, Canada's under attack, I believe them, you know, like that's right. And it tended to be true. So just the fact that people are growing up in a world now where they don't know what source of information they can trust is frightening. And
on top of that, to add to that, I was having a conversation with a professional journalist like this morning, and they were telling me about how under-resourced they are. And how their ability to actually dig into a story to check accuracy, their ability to go and get a response from the other perspective in that story to make sure they'd kind of given a fair and balanced kind of opportunity for them to reply, they're so up against it because they have so many competing things in terms of they've got to do a print version, they've got to do a video version, they've got to do a Facebook post, a Twitter post, and they've got to deliver so many news stories a day and update all these different places. And then also do proper journalism, that the quality of the environments that journalists are operating in Canada, and specifically, was they relevant to their experience, means that they make mistakes and they make errors and they can't always be fully accurate and investigate the sources. So when there is a mistake in the media or those newspapers, because journalists don't have the same resources as they used to then, it only makes them look bad or makes it look like they didn't do their job properly or that they would be misleading. But it's just that they're a lot of them are struggling to do the job that they love, given the resources they've been given with like newsrooms today are not what they used to be in that sense.
Well, it's no longer about, which news station has the more integral or amazing news story. It's all just about ratings versus, you know, likes and views and fuck. It's so fucking, oh God. Our world is falling apart, Reese. Well, why are you doing this to me? Why? Exactly. I was having a nice day. I had nachos. Okay, I was watching some fucking TV, and now we're talking about curl up in a ball and die.
Do you know why I wanted to talk about this, though?
I don't know. It's our job.
You get paid to do a job, but this isn't boring. This is like important stuff. This comes under important. So I don't know if you saw in the news or not, but Polyev won the Conservative leadership. We covered that. He called he called a press conference, but he said there would be no questions. And what happened was one of the journalists.
What does that mean?
So he called a press conference,
but nobody asked any questions.
Nobody was allowed to ask questions. So
it's fucking what's his name all over again.
He was going to talk at them essentially,
His name? Fucking our old conservative leader Harper.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same.
He did the same fucking thing. You remember? You told me that.
He used to work for Harper, so it's the same thing. But what happened was one of the journalists was so enraged, they started asking questions while he was delivering his statement. He then was basically, look at this, the liberal media won't even let me give my statement. And the journalist isn't even the liberal. the journalist has a history of working for conservative news outlets. But he was like, this, see, the liberal media won't let me give my, and he managed to spin it into, I'm just trying to, they're not giving me the respect and the space to distort my, they distort my message, and they're kind of like trying to stop me from talking and telling the truth. And then what happened was he then sent an email out to followers asking for like donations and support to say, say the media is blocking me. We're not getting our message out there. You need to go around the media. You need to go around the media and not trust those main news sources that you usually use. And, wow. And this comes back to what I was talking about, that, you know, that is basically a path of, if you're going to trust kind of private messaging and things, that is the path where most of this misinformation spreads fastest and is most prevalent. So he's asking people to go down a path that is harder for people to kind of pick what is true, what isn't true. There's no kind of necessary professional code that's followed like journalists are supposed to. Obviously, some people don't. There's pressures, all those kind of things that we talked about. But he's suggesting that his followers start to take that path solely for how they get information, which I think is dangerous.
Yeah, obviously.
So when he said that, it immediately made me think about the war on pineapple.
Okay, all right. This wasn't a crazy episode. It was a great title. I mean, like, it's depressing and like, you know.
Last episode, people were shooting each other and crazy duel. I earned this.
All right, fine. Educate me with some boring shit. I don't know what the solution to this is, though. Where everyone, like, social, I've said this before, where social media has created this, I don't know if they intended this to happen, but this ended up happening where it had a side effect of making everybody believe that they're a fucking expert. You know, everyone with an opinion, suddenly that opinion is fact. And everyone must speak what is on their mind. They must. It's weird. It's so weird. You know, like during the past 2 years, God love them, but every single one of my fucking friends is suddenly an epidemiologist. You know, like.
Well, maybe you're just going to stop hanging out with epidemiologists. It's not you.
Yay, funny comedy show. Yay.
I just want people to use that.
Comedy show.
I want people to use that toolkit. All right, then. Anyway,
give me a dick joke. Come on, hurry up. What the fuck?
Okay. Pierre Pidasev.
Pierre Pidasev?
Pierre Pinasev? Is that what's
Penis Sev? Like a
Pinasev.
Yeah. Penis. That's great. Okay.
Justin Penis O. There we go. That's another one. Anyway, are we doing? We got to do the ghost story shit now, haven't we, before we go.
Did we get anything from listeners?
Nope.
Nothing. You lazy fucks.
No. So.
I'm just kidding. We love you.
Yeah, we love you. So, do you want me to just riff one?
Yeah, riff one.
Okay. Well, do you want to give me a some starters?
Yes, I do. I can do this. Okay. It's the Wild West.
Okay.
1873. A child has been sent into town to get some potatoes. And
this is a rubbish ghost story.
And he gets lured into a mine. And go.
Little Jimmy saw the sign to the mine. Do not enter. Old mine. Dangerous. Written in letters of dripping paint that had dried quickly in the hot desert sun. Jimmy ambled over to the entrance of the cave. All he could see was shadows and heard dripping. Maybe the slight clattering of chains as the breeze came out. The cold air made the hair stand up on the back of his neck. So Jimmy put his bag of potatoes down, got his box of matches out of his pocket, lit a match, and started to walk down into the mine.
Why?
Jimmy was stupid. He was attracted. Every time he read a sign saying don't do something, he would do it. As he went further down, he could hear a knocking sound. and he thought he could see like a green glowing light further down. As he went down, he saw a strange small man, 1 foot tall, wearing workers' overalls and with small tools working the coal face. Jimmy said, "Who are you? What are you?" The creature turned to him and smiled, said, "I'm a knocker." The knockers are real folklore. Would you like some treasure, Jimmy?
Hold on, what's a knocker?
It's like a folk that used to live in coal mines. They're like fairies.
Fairies that live in coal mines. They're called knockers. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, right, there you go. Jimmy, would you like some treasure? Jimmy was like, "How do you know my name?" He's like, "That is a man. And also I read your name badge," because Jimmy worked at Best Buy. And hadn't taken his uniform off. He said, "Yeah, of course I don't want to work in Best Buy anymore. Show me where the diamonds are." So he followed the knocker down the gravel path, deeper and deeper into the mine. And suddenly the knocker started moving faster and faster and faster, and he couldn't keep up. So Jimmy kept running and running and running and running until he lost sight of him. And Jimmy was just in total darkness. The green glow had vanished. So he reached into his pocket, got the matches out, felt for a match, found the rough side of the matchbox, struck the match, and bang! He was actually in a pocket of methane gas that was trapped in the mine, and nobody ever saw Jimmy again. But what they did see was hot baked potatoes rain down on the town from the sack of potatoes left at the entrance. And the town did rejoice, and that day became known as Hot Potato Day, Free Hot Potato Day. And for 200 years, hot potatoes would be dropped from aeroplanes and hot air balloons to celebrate Hot Potato Day, and no one saw Jimmy again. How was that?
Oh, that was easily the best part of this entire episode. Oh, God. Jimmy exploded and the town rejoiced.
Well, no, they got free potatoes that were hot.
Right, yes.
They left them at the entrance. See, a clever person would have put that detail in there early on and remembered it to tie it to that ending, but I literally just remembered that the potatoes were at the entrance as I was running out of stuff to talk about.
So. Well done. No, it was very well done. I loved it. It was good. Listen, cool. I kind of interrupted your story about the depressing fucking propaganda with just me telling you about how depressing I found it. And I feel like you might have ended the story too soon. Like, did you have more to talk about?
No, that was it. That was literally it.
That was literally it?
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
What is that?
That was it. Sorry, my phone went off. That was it.
Oh, there was no like and.
Well, no, it was just. Sorry, well, I tell you, the end is just don't. Just be careful with getting all the news from private messaging.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that's.
I mean, read it, and if it's from a trusted friend, then fair enough. But always just check other sources. That's what I'd say.
That's all right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, cool. Right. Okay. Well, let's go.
Okay. Cool.
Go to Patreon. We mentioned earlier in the episode. Go to patreon.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring if you'd like to go that extra mile and support us.
Yeah. And please send us your ghost stories. Real would be great. If you have a real ghost story that happened to you, we will read it on the air because we're trying to do ghost stories every night. Not every night. Every episode until Halloween. We've already had some entries. So please, yeah, we'd love to hear your stories. It'd be really fun. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com or Instagram or Twitter or wherever you want to find us.
Yeah,
just pretend perfect. Like we're your ex and you're stalking us. That's it.
Or don't. Cool. All right. Don't awesome. Do. Bye, everyone.
Bye. We love you so much.
We love you.
Love you. Okay.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf from the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.